Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God.
It's all because.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody say so good.
Come on, let's go into prayer. Thank you, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God. And we lift you up in this place. God, we lift you up because you are a good God, an awesome God, a mighty God, and a powerful God. We lift you up now, God, because you are a healing God. You are a delivering God. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, which leads and guides us. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, which teaches us. We thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, that we might have the right to eternal life. We give you glory, honor, and praise right now, God, for everyone who is connected to this ministry. We thank you in advance, God, for uplifting, for delivering, for setting captives free on today through your word. We thank you, God, in advance for speaking to me and through me to deliver what the Spirit of the Lord has to say unto the church on this morning. We thank you, God, for what you're getting ready to do in this ministry and in others. We thank you, God, for causing the churches to come together for one purpose, with one mind, with one accord, to do what it is that you sent us to do. We thank you now, God, for opening doors, for making a way. We thank you now, God, for filling every void and meeting the needs of the people who are connected on today. We thank you now, God, for moving mountains out of our way. We thank you now, God, for every opportunity that you're presenting to us. We thank you, God, because you are faithful. You are faithful, that promise. And we know that everything that you promised us that you're going to do, God, will come to pass. We thank you, God, that we can find your promises in your word. And you said that you would not send your word out so that it could return void. In fact, you watch over it to perform exactly the things that you said that you were going to do. And for that, God, we give you praise. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we count these blessings done by faith. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We thank God on this morning for all that he is doing. Amen. We pray that for those who are perhaps joining a little bit later, amen, that you'll go back, amen, and listen to the word in its entirety. On this morning, if you would, we are coming from the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Amen. We are not in the sanctuary on this morning. Amen. Nonetheless, amen, we know that God is with us. Amen. And we thank God just for his presence. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we are going to begin at verse 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. Amen. Once you have it, amen. Again, we're starting at verse 20. And the Bible reads, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead, if the dead are not raised at all? Why are people baptized on their behalf? Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. This is verse 33. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. Amen. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. Amen. I want to use for a thought on this morning. Cut from the same cloth. Cut from the same cloth. That term is similar to the proverb, birds of a feather flock together. Amen. The expectation is that people of similar type, interest, personality, character, or other distinctive attributes tend to mutually associate. Therefore, as Christians, we shouldn't be hanging out in worldly places, doing worldly things, and having worldly conversations, but we should be examples to others who are not saved. We know that Christ died for our sins, as Paul advised the Corinthians. So he advises also that we need to wake up and stop sinning. The young people say, stay woke. Because even the worldly people have enough knowledge to know that we have missed the mark. And we can't be an example to the world or a light to those who are in darkness if we're not obeying God and our behaviors don't resemble his. We as believers are part of God's body. That means that we should not be divided or in groups opposing each other, but standing together. Amen. He wants us to live together in community, to protect each other, and to build each other up. He specifically created us for a relationship with him, first and foremost, and then with each other. And he created each of us with a purpose in mind. Nobody that's here is an accident. Nobody that's here is unwanted, because God allowed all of us to be here for his purpose. Amen. We were all born as foreigners. Our mother's wombs ushered us from that tiny space into her arms. And this begins the task of learning where it is that we belong. When we commit our lives to Christ, the birthing process begins all over again. We depart from the dead, the old man of sin, and cross the veil into the community of living for Christ Jesus. And a lot of people struggle to find a place where they truly belong in their walk with God. But the more we grow in our walk, grow into ourselves as God's children, then the more we tend to wonder if we'll ever truly find a group of like-minded people where we share more than just one place to go on Sundays or a place for us to gather on Wednesday nights for Bible study. In fact, one of the biggest struggles that many Christians face is feeling alone. feeling lonely or feeling alienated from other people. Many Christians feel alone and misunderstood. They feel as if no one cares. They feel as if they're out here trying to do this thing called life by themselves. They feel as if they're out there on this journey and they're struggling all by themselves. And they feel like there's no end to their troubles. But somebody today needs to know that we're cut from the same cloth. God meant for us to use all of our unique qualities and talents and abilities, not only to serve him, but to draw other people to him. In Genesis 12 and 3, God told Abraham, according to the ESV version of the Bible, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But instead of recognizing that God wants to bless somebody else through our relationship with him, we allow the enemy to make us believe that there is something wrong with us. So then we'll try to change who God called us to be by trying to blend in with the rest of the world, so that we're not only in relationship, not him, but we also miss out on proper relationships with other people. Then the result is that we can't lead other people to him, and that's what we're here for. It said that it's hard to find what we are not searching for. What do I mean by that? Well, a drunk goes to bars and goes to liquor stores to supply their desire for alcohol. Fornicators go to wild parties and the nightclubs to fulfill their lustful desires. So the question is, on this morning, people of God, what are you looking for? Better still, what are we finding? If we're seeking eternal life, then we will be searching the pages of the Word of God and attending the services that lead us closer to God, and making sure that we're in the congregation every time the church doors open, because birds of a feather do flock together, and so do the saints of God. From the very beginning, Adam had Eve, Moses had Aaron, David had Jonathan, Ruth had Naomi, and Jesus had Peter and his disciples. Jesus also had God, and he instructed the disciples to even journey in pairs so that they wouldn't have to travel alone. God never meant for you to try to do this thing called life by yourself. You have a family in the kingdom of God. And on the same note, the need for connection can cause us to interact with other people who may not sharpen us, or who may not build us up, or who may not point us to Christ, but instead they're dragging us away from God's best. As Christ followers, or the flock in his body, our church. So therefore, God has placed the members, each one of us, in the body, just as he desires, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 18. We were not, people of God, created to be independent, autonomous, or self-sufficient from God. We were made to live in a humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God, and in a loving and humble interdependency with others. As Christians, our lives were designed to be a part of one body, and that's the body of Christ. Our cloth should be patterned after God. If we put on the mind of Christ when we were born again into Christianity, our old ways should have died and the newness of this Christian lifestyle should cause us to be patterned after our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet the foolishness of sin tells us that we have all that we need within ourselves. But what's truly within us, within each of us, is our flesh. It's our old nature. It's sin. And we're naturally born like Adam, who fell into sin. There's no good thing, people of God, in our flesh, because this flesh will lead us to sin. And sin leads to death. Death of the spirit, death of your soul, and eventually the death of the body. So we settle for bad relationships with other people. We have negative perspectives. We defend ourselves when the people around us point at our weaknesses or areas where we're wrong. Many people right now are living in turmoil and in misery, and we hold our struggles within, not taking advantage of the resources that are found in the kingdom of God. In other words, your flock or your cloth is made up of the people that you willingly choose to spend time with. And the scripture says it like this in Proverbs: walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble, according to Proverbs 13 and 20. Some of us have gotten into trouble because we were hanging out with foolish people. And in turn, we begin to look foolish too. That inner oneness or connectedness of the church is the combined spiritual relationship between every believer and God, and every believer and his or her own Savior, and every believer and his or her household of faith siblings. Amen. When this combined spiritual relationship expresses itself in an outward display of oneness as each believer's joint participation with the Holy Spirit, with other folks full of the Holy Spirit, and in an unconditional surrender to the Lord for service, the end result is that the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ, is accomplishing God's perfect will in the earth. In short, each part of the ecclesia or the church, no matter where it might be located on this globe, would have all things in common and would be doing God's perfect will together. The Lord never promises to build a religious institution or a man-made organization consisting of numerous physical buildings or meeting places known as the churches, where Christians publicly worship God. What the Lord does promise to build is a spiritual house that is exclusively His. Therefore, this house cannot be built by man's hands. In other words, the Lord promises to build an ecclesia, His spiritually called out assembly or group or house or community or family. And that's who God is coming back for. The bottom line is this: God always meant for the Lord's Christian birds of a feather to flock together. He always meant for us to be cut from the same cloth. Since born again, saved, justified, full of the Holy Spirit, and those in the process of becoming sanctified believers are designed to be Christians cut from the same cloth as birds of a feather, who are predisposed to flocking or assembling together, then today's true believers cannot stop gathering daily in their God-appointed assemblies, groups or families, or communities, where they joyfully share the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord, as well as gladly sharing their worldly possessions, their praises, their prayers, miracles, worship, the Lord's Supper, and fellowship, all having things in common, including a similar character, interest, and background. So ask yourself, in the majority of the members who attend the brick and mortar buildings that we currently call your church home, have we been an example of all of the aforementioned measurable, strong spiritual characteristics, that inner oneness, that doctrinal conformity, and outer oneness as seen in sharing, loving, and Christ-like words and actions? If not, then it's time for you to seek out the Lord's true ecclesia, his spiritual house, where genuine Christian birds of a feather will be found flocking together and doing the perfect will of God together, because we are cut from the same cloth. So be sure, people of God, that the people that you spend your time with honor God, lift you up, always have your best interest at heart, share the same values and morals, that they motivate you, that they guide you, that they look after you, that they are praying for you, that they bring value to your life, that they fill your heart with joy, that they inspire you to do what's right, that they encourage you to lean and to depend upon God, that they're willing to stand arm in arm with you to hold up this blood-stained banner of the Lord, that they rejoice with you when you rejoice, that they celebrate God with you, and that they celebrate the God that's in you, because we are, people of God, cut from the same cloth. God bless you. Before we go, I want to quickly pray with you, because I realize that many people who are under the sound of my voice on today may have struggles. But I want you to know that in your struggles, you will find what you're looking for if you look to God to be your help, if you look to God to be your source, if you look to God as your resource for all of the voids that you have and for all of the things that you're missing. Because indeed, when you're saved, we really are cut from the same cloth. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you now, God, for your many blessings. Thank you, God, for speaking to us and through us and reminding us that in you we have everything that we need. For reminding us, God, that sometimes we look outwardly for answers when we should be looking unto you, because you are the author and the finisher of our faith. So everything, every good work that you began in us, you are faithful to perform it. We thank you now, God, for reminding us to look unto Jesus, because we know, God, that you care for us. We thank you, God, for reminding us that for everything that we need, for every hole that's in our heart, for every empty space that we have on the inside, God, our answers are in you. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for keeping us. Thank you, God, for delivering us and setting us as captives free. Thank you, God, for everything that you're getting ready to do concerning us. And for that, God, we give you glory, honor, and praise right now. It is in Jesus' name that we ask these blessings, and we thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you for each of you who have joined on today. Thank God for Sister Alexandria joining, and Deacon Jackson, I see that you're watching. Thank God for you. Amen. Thank God for Sister Glenn, who's watching. Amen. And for all of those who will join later. If you have not had the opportunity to give of your tithes and your offering, please do so at this time. You may utilize Cash App at $CharityFGBC. You may also utilize PayPal. Amen. And that's at Campbell Ministries. Amen. Please do surrender your tithes and your offering in obedience to the word of God. Amen. Not because the church is greedy. Amen. Not because that's all that preachers think about, because I've heard that so many times over and over again. But it is what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And as we sow into the kingdom of God outside of our tithes and offering, everything that we sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. Amen. Amen. If not, if you're just watching and you would like to sow into the word of God because you need some things from God, then we ask you to do that as well. If you're in the area and you need drop off and pickup service, we ask you to contact the church. Amen. So that we may oblige. And if not, until next time, may God bless you and may God keep you is our prayer. Thank you so much for listening. The Charity Full Gospel Baptist Church is a word-centered and Christ-focused ministry. We're located at 1775 Booker Street in Jackson, Mississippi, and we simply ask that when you come, come as you are, and then allow God to elevate you to where He would have you to be. Until next time, may God bless you. And may God keep you is our prayer. We'll be right back.